So today's message is entitled The Light, and I'm starting with a reading from 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 11. To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word and for your encouragement. I woke up yesterday morning feeling very low, knowing I had to make a decision as to whether to help out at the church work day, and normally that wouldn't be a problem, as usually it's an enjoyable time of fellowship and not just hard graft. But this work day had been forgotten by some people, and I wished I was one of them. The problem was that I hadn't been given a message for Sunday, for today. It just hadn't come, and I was burdened by the responsibility of having to prepare a sermon along with the music and turn up at the work day. Sometimes life can get you down. It's one of my weaknesses. Every now and again, more frequently than I'd like, I feel overcome by disappointment and the pressure to just keep on going when it feels like I'm carrying everything myself. The fact is, of course, that I'm not carrying everything myself. God is. But that's no consolation, is it, to someone who feels like God's gone on holiday and left you to carry on alone. And when you don't have a message in mind by Saturday morning, that's what it felt like to me. I didn't want to go to the work day. In my flesh, I didn't want to go, because in my weakness, I felt like I was running out of time. And I had to spend what little time I had left before Sunday morning thinking and worrying about a sermon and the music. And that's probably exactly what the devil was up to, trying to discourage me and to get me on the back foot. Intimidated, controlled. Realizing that I was on a downer that morning, my wife suggested we pray before getting out of bed, which was a really good idea. I wasn't in the mood for that. But she started and covered most of the things that were on my mind anyway, including the fact that I needed an idea or a seed to work with. As in confessing that I didn't have anything, she knew that God had to give me something pretty soon, or maybe she'd be one of the ones who didn't get to hear anything from the Lord as well. I didn't feel a lot different afterwards, but I knew that we'd done the right thing. It can never be wrong to pray together, especially when you feel a bit helpless, a bit down. And the problem with me is that even though some people see me as blessed in many ways, if I don't feel blessed, if I don't feel it, then I can easily slip into despondency and hopelessness. No matter what the facts are, if I don't feel that way, that's what can happen. And there are many synonyms for despondency. See if you've got any yourself. Synonyms include hopelessness, sadness, despair, depression, the blues, heavy-heartedness, dejected, gloom, melancholy, misery, and downheartedness. And most of them fit me from time to time. But being a believer in Jesus and knowing what the Bible says about my condition, and King David had a lot of my problems, I sometimes have to make myself do the right thing. I have to make myself to do it, whether I like it or not. So, having read Word for Today, which was strongly suggested by my wife, I came away with a small example which I have hopefully taken on board. And this is what it was. It included in Word for Today an information about the inventor of the Morse code, Mr. Samuel Morse. When asked whether he ever came across an absolute deadlock whilst experimenting with his new invention, Morse replied, "Oh, more than once." His friend then asked him, "So what did you do to overcome all those problems?" And Morse replied, "I knelt down and I prayed for light, and light came." And apparently that's why the first message sent by transatlantic cable by Morse decoded at the other end as "What God has wrought," thereby giving the glory back to God and not claiming it himself. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you this morning is because when I'm down and feeling miserable, sometimes getting outside of the house and into the light of day helps. But when I have it really bad, I really need to pray about it. And so that's what I did. I specifically prayed on this occasion that morning for light. For light. Light to lift the darkness. Light to see the way forward. Light to display and reveal a message from God that I so desperately needed sometime soon, if there was going to be a message this morning. Preferably one that was original and inspired and given by God himself. Realizing that the light within you is fading a bit should be a warning that something needs to be done. Maybe that the devil is on your tail. Maybe he's stopped roaring and is just about to attack. Luke 11:34-36, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are bad, your body is also full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of a lamp shines on you. So, we'd prayed together, and then I'd prayed for light in the situation, and as usual, I prayed for help. As simple as that. As simple as that. I need your help again, God. Lord, help me. And so, slowly but surely, I realized that I really needed to get the accuser of the brethren off my back and trust God to provide for me at the right time, at his time, the time of his choosing. Now, around this time, I got a strong impression that the reason I felt so pressured and downcast was in part because I was taking on too much in my own strength. not because I was doing too much work, but because the perception of my workload was that it was unfair and had to be done by me all alone. But this was the revelation. It doesn't matter how many or if any other people decide to help you do something, the real help comes from knowing that God will help you do something if you're doing it for Him and not wanting any of the glory for yourself, like Samuel Morse. Now, let me tell you, that's not always easy to do. It really isn't, if you're honest. It's not easy to do that. The heart is deceitful above all things. It was Saturday mid-morning at this point. The workday started at 9 o'clock and generally goes on till about noon. You can come and go as you need, but in my negativity, I decided I'm not going. I'm not going to go because I have got too much work to do somewhere else. So I'm not going, and I don't have to go. And then I realized that just maybe God wanted me to show willing and do a couple of hours down there. So I put Toffee in the boot and I drove down with my hedge cutter. I realized that someone had been here earlier because their mobile was still charging in the chapel. I decided to get on with something that I knew needed doing and I knew that I could do because I do that sort of thing. I was still without a sermon at this point, trying not to panic. Panic was rising up and I was trying not to panic. So I got on with my work, cutting the hedge in the lower man's garden. And then, out of the blue, so to speak, a voice shouted my name from the house opposite the graveyard. And then I realized it was my old friend and neighbor who I'd previously asked to help me cut down a tree in the man's garden. He was friendly and said he's now got a small chainsaw and a long extension and would be happy to help me in autumn when the leaves drop off. And while he was talking, I remembered something that had happened a few weeks ago whilst I was cutting the grass down there. I'd heard a very unusual bird call, which I just couldn't put my head to what it was. I've never, 64 years, can't ever remember hearing a bird sound like that. It was coming from this same neighbour's garden in a tree near the river, very high up. And I was straining my eyes trying to work out, where is this thing? I can't see it. I couldn't see it at first, but knew it must be very rare. Eventually, I located it and realized that it was almost pure white, about the size of a dove. It wasn't a dove. It doesn't sound like a dove. It wasn't moving. It was just sat there, and occasionally it would call out now and again. Eventually, I noticed someone on the other side of the river calling up into that tree. And then I twigged what had happened. This bird was lost. It was a cockatiel. And it had flown from the other side of this road and got up into one of these really high ash trees at the back. And when I said, are you looking for a bird? Yeah, can you see? I could see it. It's up there, look. A white cockatiel. Another person turned up in my neighbour's garden calling, Joey, Joey, or something like that. I explained to them that I could see the bird, even though they couldn't, and directed their gaze high up into this tree. So imagine this, two people calling Joey, how on earth were they going to get it back into the safety of its cage? It was about 60 feet high. You could just see it. So I tried to ring my neighbour, whose garden they needed to be in, but he didn't answer. Knowing he probably wouldn't mind, I told them to come nearer, but to mind out for his beehives. I just couldn't think how they would get that young cockatiel back to safety. There they were, calling, rattling, offering birdseed, etc. to a bird that was 60 foot up in the air. in its new environment, it was a lovely day, didn't have a care in the world, free as a bird, and with no incentive to fly back down to the ground and get into a dark box. Picture that. Why would you do that? Why would you fly down and get back into a box? Okay, you'll get the point of this in a minute. Long story shortened slightly. On that very day, I left these two people calling Joey, the cockatiel, to implore it to come back into the box, wondering if they'd ever get it back and if I'd ever hear the end of that story. I left them calling up into a very tall tree. So yesterday, while I was cutting the hedges and my neighbour called out my name, it occurred to me to ask him if he knew anything about it, because he wasn't around at the time. And he said he returned home to find these two people still calling into that tree. They brought its toys, its bells, its whistles in an attempt to coax it down. So I said, well, what happened in the end? Wondering how the bird could ever get to be recovered to safety. He said, well, it didn't end well. The bird flew to another tree, and then it was intercepted by a sparrowhawk, and it's dead. Sad ending for an unsuspecting pet cockatiel. No doubt, the unwitting parrot had got itself noticed while it was calling out from the top of the tree. Not realizing that its owners were not trying to spoil its fun, but just knowing that it wasn't equipped to survive in a hostile world. Remember from 1 Peter 5, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. On this occasion, it wasn't a roaring lion, it was a sparrowhawk. Maybe a different kind of story, but with a lesson to learn for those with spiritual ears. If only that bird had known how close it was to losing its life, how much danger it was in, maybe it would have flown back to safety. And there's the problem, isn't it? We as human beings can also resist the call. We have better things to do. We're good, thanks. Just fine where we are. The weather is great and we can see for miles. No need for any more light than we already have. But nothing stays the same forever, does it? And change is bound to come. And the devil is always, always prowling and watching you for your Achilles heel. He probably knows you better than you know yourself. And just like that sparrowhawk was looking for something to devour, just as he always looking for ways to destroy me and you, that's the devil. And if not to destroy, then to weaken our faith and make us ineffective. It's not a game. This is serious. It's the real thing. Darkness is part of the fallen nature, part of our fallen nature, and part of a fallen world. When you're in the dark, it's not a good place to stay. John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it nor overcome it. No doubt, we are all different. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. But it's a good idea to know, have a good idea what your weaknesses are, and to realize when they're being exploited by the enemy. Sometimes we just have to recognize that our thoughts can be wrong. We might be thinking wrong, wrong thinking. And if we don't get correction, our final direction might be a mistake, even dangerous. Don't forget, God is interested in your thoughts as well as your actions, because your thoughts can lead to actions. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Take your thoughts captive to Jesus. Admit what you're thinking. Admit it to Him. Especially if you suspect it's wrong thinking. We need to expose our thoughts not just to the light of day, but to the light of life. The light of life. John 3:17 to 21. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict. The verdict is light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. A bit like Samuel Morse. And remember, like Samuel Morse, there will be times when we come to an absolute deadlock, a full stop, a roadblock, a brick wall. Not a surprise to God. And if we ask Him what to do next, He's not likely to answer with, well, I don't know. Is He? Think about it. Or, well, mind your own business. Because we are His business. We are His concern. We are His children. He does care about us. But finally, don't be like that cockatiel. Don't refuse to budge. Don't mistrust the ones who care for you. And if it's God who is calling you, you better do something about it and not turn away or put it off. It could just be that He can see the lion and you can't. 1 John 1, 5-7. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all and every sin. So if you're afraid of the light today, it's because you need to get right with God. Maybe you need to get down on your knees and ask for light. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for direction. Ask for help. And trust what comes. Trust when God gives you the answer, that it's the right answer for such a time as this. For He is faithful and good. And He loves those who are His. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.